Blog Talk Radio.
Love this song. This song talks to my heart, and it speaks of a promise that all of us hold deep in ourselves. And I think a lot of us wish that the world could be this way, and maybe someday it will be. Until then, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on your time zone, and welcome everybody to Nightlight. Welcome, light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, inquestors, inquirents, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those who are seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, and transformation. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and I invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around this nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. The show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is my own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with me your light, I'll share mine with you, and with any luck we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together, as we do every week, generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com. There's a ton of information there, my videos, my books, my philosophies, actually my life, everything except blood type and urine, blood type and urine sample appears to be there these days. It also has information on the other shows I do, which I'm very honored to be included in. On the first Tuesday and the last Thursday of the month, I am guest host on Almost Heaven with Lizzie Starr and Hazel. And it's an amazing show. It's a delight to be working together with those two ladies. They are both very spectacular. They're both readers. They're both spiritually oriented. They have a lot to offer and share, and they do so with great gusto and enthusiasm and spirit and love, light, and laughter. Once a month, Mary Peeler joins me on the show, unless she falls asleep when she's supposed to be calling, and then she's napping, and she hasn't learned how to do that etherically yet. But I am informed that because she missed last week, she owes me deeply, and I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. Matrix Radio is the other show that I do, and it has been on hiatus for a while. It's been reorganizing, and hopefully in April we will get that back on the air. That will be on Friday nights from 8 to 10, and it's going to be an interview program, and we're going to be talking about all sorts of wonderful stuff, metaphysical, paranormal, spiritual. I'm not going to get near politics, but I think I'll hit almost everything else in between. And I'm going to be bringing onto the show a lot of people who are experts in their fields that can share their philosophies and give us some input into some of the questions that we have about this reality. Because to be perfectly honest with you, the world appears to be going crazy. And it's been ever since the year became new and was born. I think everyone has felt, heard, and sort of intuitively sensed that the energy out there has changed, and it's changed dramatically. And it is amazing to see how just the world and people's perception of it has shifted since the first of the year. Most people are going through awakenings internally on a spiritual level, and it is just phenomenal to see the changes that are occurring. People have a more philosophical, spiritual outlook on their life. Their perception has shifted and changed, and in many cases it's been a very subtle thing, but I have a feeling that it's going to be increasing as we get more and more into the springtime. For some reason, I have a feeling that as spring, you know, dawns upon us, and it is coming, I have been told. My first sign of spring here is that I have ladybugs in one of my bathrooms, and I did see a ladybug, so I think it's on its way. I still have like a foot of snow out there, so it may be coming a little slower than the groundhog had anticipated, but I am hopeful at this point that we are done with the winter and that there is a newness coming, a new birthing in all of us, and it's a time. I think a lot of us are tired of winter or tired of the darkness and are looking so forward to not only the light that the sun brings, but the light that, of course, the universe sheds within our spirits and our souls as we move into a more a greater understanding of the light and love that is the cosmic gift to us. I want to share with you one thing, actually, that to me has been very impressive. There's a wonderful book out there called Earthing. It's E-A-R-T-H-I-N-G. And it's been written by somebody who has put down in writing something that most of us who are of a spiritual nature have always known, but not really possibly practiced. And that's that the earth has an energy. And that energy, if we walk barefoot upon it, will rebalance our systems. It takes care of stress, it takes care of strain, it takes care of inflammation. And the Native American folk did this a lot, and they were probably healthier than any of us are today because, of course, they weren't ingesting all the chemicals that we are and stuff like that. But Earthing is a book that encourages you to walk barefoot on the earth, and certainly I'm looking outside now and all I see is snow. So at this point, it's definitely not in the realm of possibility. But as we get more and more into the springtime, as the Earth Mother wakes up and starts to carpet herself and starts to bring forth the the leaves and all of the other magical things that happen in the springtime, to get out there and take your shoes off and spend a little while communing with and connecting to the Earth Mother would probably be a very wise thing. It will probably help you balance yourself in new and unusual ways, and I encourage you to do it because in these times of awakening, of change, of growing, it's important to be able to tap into the kind of energies that are available to us, and so many of us forget that. And I'm right in the club. I do the same thing. So that said, check out that book. It's a really amazing, amazing book. And, thank you. Oh, Love, you're doing great. Love is definitely standing in for Jeannie, and she has to be able to multitask much better than I do. Jeannie has been detained. Don't know if she's going to make it or not. So I guess I'm on my own. She does this to me every now and then. It's amazing. I think we've been doing the show now for 4 years, and I think I can count on one hand the number of times that she's had to take a break. So she's entitled to it. I have a feeling she'd much rather be here than what she's doing now anyhow, but she was unavoidably detained. She wasn't arrested or anything like that. She just had something she had to do. So I do encourage you to look at the website. It's big, and it's getting bigger all the time, so there's lots of fun stuff on there. The What's New area of it has totally been rewritten. There are tons of books there that I recommend. There are I ran a craft show, and I put all the vendors that I had tried to get to do the craft show with me, and there are about 50 or 60 of them there. It is just amazing, the magical stuff that I found, that I fell in love with. Actually, had I not been as disciplined, and it's one of the few times I have been, I probably could have spent a fortune, because each of the vendors that I have up there are spectacular. The video page is a new page that's up there, and on the video page are links to all of the videos that I've done and been involved in and connected to, and it's the 43-minute video of Secrets of the Stones is there for you to look at. The documentary that Patrick and I did for South African television is there, and that was spectacular. There's a television show that I did just a couple of weeks ago that's up there, and so there's a whole bunch of stuff there that's new, and as I come across other things that have made their way onto YouTube and stuff like that, I will get them up there as well. Let me see, what else do I have to tell you? Matrix, got that done. While Jeannie isn't in the chat room, Love is, and she's doing a great job. Love for Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you. If anybody's interested in a reading, I suggest you call in sooner rather than later, because the line does tend to get quite long. Call in numbers 347-857-2139. The other thing on the website I want to draw your attention to is that there are predictions for every month of the year. They're up there. And also links to my book and a ton of other stuff. Every now and then I get lost in my website, so it's been a trip. So I think we'll hit the phone lines a little bit here just to see who's here. Now, this is going to be as large a surprise to me as it is to you, so we'll see who has called in. I've got 917-438. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this, please?
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing very well. Having to multitask, but that's okay.
Yeah.
How can I help today?
If you could just, are you able to give just a general reading, I guess, what should I focus on in my career the next couple months, or what you see happening?
Yes, I can definitely give you a general, and that's probably the best way to go, because that means that you're not pointing me in any particular direction, even though I heard career here. It does feel as though you're at a place in time where there are many changes coming into your life, and you're evolving into a new understanding of yourself. So it feels as though there's a lot of healing going on here. It feels as though you are letting go of stuff that you've been carrying for a long time. It's sort of like you're letting go of the garbage that you've sort of gathered over the last couple of years. And it does feel as though by letting it go, you allow yourself to heal, and the healing process is really, really important. It feels as though as you move into April, there's a lot of healing going on, and I feel you are physically fine. It's the emotional stuff that it feels like you are letting go of. You are moving into new directions. You are opening yourself up to the possibilities and potentialities that are there for you. And it's almost like you're rebirthing yourself. I'm not going to call you a born again, but I am going to say that it feels like there's a breath of fresh air here for you. Some of it you may not be really horribly comfortable with, because sometimes change can be unusual and it can be unsettling before we have sort of gotten ourselves locked into what's going on. It feels though that the universe in many ways is laughing at you. It's a time in which you're growing and you're allowing yourself to kind of go outside the box. You're allowing yourself to try things that you haven't done before. And you know, it feels like there's laughter, there's celebration, there's joy. By the time you get to the May time frame, it feels like there's a lot of fresh, new stuff going on here for you. It does look as though there is, as you get into the June time frame, the element here of spirit energy around you, as though you are drawing in spirit energy and spirits are kind of gathering around you, not because you need protecting or anything like that. It's more or less that you are more and more aware of the legacy that you are carrying and that you are here to generate as far as future generations go, so that there is this sense of a flow of love and support and guidance from the other side, from people that have passed over. It feels as you get into the July time frame, there's a tremendous amount of wisdom here. It's almost like you are sent back to the books, or you're either sent back to them or you're attacking them. And it feels as though you're looking for answers, you're looking to stretch yourself, you're looking to expand your consciousness and your understanding. And it's a very, very, very exciting time for you. I would say that as you come into July, this is a time where I would love to see you just rolling your sleeves up and start expanding your consciousness, start expanding your intellect, and allowing your soul to basically guide where you are, where you're going with all of this. It's like you're going to the books to remember what you already know, what you've been taught in lifetimes past, what is important for you to understand. And it's a wonderful, exciting time for you, because it feels like once you start this process, you're not going to be able to stop. And it's the beginning of a lot of really wonderful, exciting changes that are here. August has miracles in it. Magic and miracles, expecting the unexpected. It's a time in which the unusual is going to happen to you, and the more open you are to it, the stranger it'll get. And I don't mean in a bad way. I just think that what you've got coming are some of the most remarkable surprises ever. And it's almost as though, in many ways, you have been restricting yourself by holding back on the things that you'd like to see coming into your life. This is a time, August, where ask for the stars. You know, I'm not sure you'll actually get a star in your backyard, but it does feel as though magic, you know, when magic is not restricted by your expectations, it does amazing things. So, and the other thing here too, I keep seeing shooting stars. August is a time where I would say, if you have free time, if you can find free time to go outside on occasion and look for shooting stars at night, you're going to be amazed at what you see. I you know, the sky is not falling, but it's going to put on a show for you.
Wow.
And as you get into the September timeframe, here's where there's freedom. Here's where there's you're setting yourself free. You're allowing yourself to move and grow and stretch. And in doing so, you break the patterns that other people have set for you. you break the molds that people, you know, what they, how they see you and what they expect of you and from you, and you break them to smithereens. You just become the person that's been hiding inside all this time, and you don't do it all at once, you know, but it slowly comes out between now and the September time frame, and there is a rebirth of new energy, of new direction, of you know, I think that you have so strongly limited yourself by not allowing yourself to reach as far as you're capable of reaching, and it feels that by the time we get to September, you've gotten to the place where the sky's the limit. In other words, you don't just ask for one scoop. You say, "Give it all to me, and I'll you know, dole the calories out in some way." But you know, it's sort of like you don't restrict yourself. You expect that you want it all. You want the best. You don't want to settle for less than you deserve. You really, really, really want perfect and perfection, and by doing that and by saying that to the universe, they have to give it to you. It's really quite amazing. Home goes through changes and alterations of some sort in October. Trees don't fall on your house or anything like that, but it does feel like there's a sense of bringing color more deeply and brilliantly into your life. It feels like you don't have enough of that. Do you know what I mean when I say gem quality color?
Well, maybe that means I move during that time, which I'm hoping.
Oh, I would absolutely say that. But also, it's those. I'm seeing the bright colors of red, orange, yellow, blue, green, purple. I'm seeing the gem qualities, the richness of them. Please don't go pastel on me in that time frame. Really utilize the chakra colors to really let people know exactly where you are and who you are. It's a time in which use color to really broadcast where you're coming from. And if you're coming from strength and stuff like that, you wear red. And if you're coming from, you know, the creative stuff, then you wear blue. And if you're, you know, if you're not familiar with the chakras and what they stand for and mean, do some research, because chakras can absolutely broadcast exactly what your intent is. And that way you don't have to say it, because you've already told people and they have on a subconscious level an understanding of where you're coming from and where you intend to go. November. Absolutely an amazing time. It's crazy. There's so much stuff going on here that you're so busy that you don't have time to breathe. And it does feel as though there is a sense of having to move really, really fast because there's so much that you have to do that you sometimes, you know, don't have time to take a deep breath, and the other thing you don't have time to do is eat. And so I would really, really, really make sure that you eat well and appropriately in the November time frame, because you're going to need to have the energy that food will bring you. Do you sometimes, when you're really busy, do you skip meals? Do you forget to eat and forget to, you know, take care of yourself? Because that's what I'm seeing here.
Yes, that's right.
Set an alarm on your phone or something like that every 4 hours to make sure you get some food in you and stuff like that. Because and hit the protein more than the carbs, but water, lots and lots and lots and lots of water. What you've sent out returns to you greatly magnified by the December time frame. I'm not sure what you've asked the universe for, but it seems to me over a time frame you've asked a lot of the universe, and it feels like the universe is just going to dump it all in your lap. That old adage of
be careful what you,
that be careful what you ask for, because it's coming. It is
that's
coming.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sense here of a new harmony in your life, and as you get into the first of next year, there's creative energy, healing energy that seem to be flowing in good synchronicity. And by the time you hit February next year, you've crossed a threshold into understanding of additional new levels of this dimension and of the next. If I look at career here, it does feel as though it's crazy time.
When does crazy time start? Because I've been
already
experiencing a lot of healing, and it hasn't been career time because it's been healing time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want career time, you know, and finance time, and
yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, we can't micromanage our own evolution. and the universe, you know, is certainly going to make sure you're healed before you start on another pathway here. I do feel that your healing stuff is definitely, for the most part, you know, the big stuff is done. It's just the little tie-up stuff that we're looking at here. And I would say that probably, what is it you do?
I'm a writer and a healer and a teacher. Spiritual stuff.
Yeah. There's a book here. Have you done it yet?
I have been writing three of them, and now I'm processing something, maybe to, I don't know, format the book in a different way or something.
Okay, but do understand that with most artists, and you are indeed an artist, their work is never done. Sooner or later, you're going to have to just say it's finished and walk away.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. And it's ready to come out. I know that, too.
Now you're gonna self-publish, right?
No.
Why not?
Because I wanted to go for a big publisher.
I'm seeing self-publication.
Really? Okay.
Let me explain sort of why. A long time ago, I published a deck of cards, and I went with a traditional publisher. I didn't have an agent, because that would have taken 10% more. But I signed with U.S. Games, which was very big, and the deck sold for, I think, $25, and of that, I got 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let me just say the contracts and everything that went along with it were not as fair to me as they might have been. I now self-publish, and sometimes, depending on what format it's in and stuff like that, people who self-publish get as much as 70%. You have no control over your work when you go with a publisher. You lose your ability to choose where it goes and how it goes. Traditional publishers, unless you have one as a relative or something like that, are difficult to get, and they expect you to do 80% of the marketing, and you really don't benefit from it. Stephen King is with a traditional publisher; he gets 3 cents a book. Mm. Yes, and Susie Hendricks has mentioned CreateSpace. CreateSpace is Amazon's self-publishing area, and that's where I use CreateSpace along with Lightning Source and Ingram too. But CreateSpace is the main place where I put books, and it's amazing and it's easy, and you get a monthly report, and it just is so much easier, and it allows you to be in control of your creative works. If you want to let go of them and let go of the responsibility, you can certainly do that. But in order to get from a traditional publisher, if you don't have a link in and connection, it's almost impossible. So
I was just thinking it was more reputable. You know, to do both, to do traditional and non-traditional, like the self-publishing.
You can't do that, but what happens with publishers is that they literally will put your book into a catalog of some sort, but they don't do the promotional work with it that you want, so that there is truly no benefit to it anymore. Amazon is where most people buy their books. They don't go to bookstores that often. If you self-publish, you'll be on Amazon. And, you know, I tell you what, though, when you get ready, you give me a call. My Gmail is barbaradelong@gmail.com. And, you know, I'll go through it with you. I strongly advise that you self-publish, but And it does look like that's what you're going to ultimately do.
Okay.
But, you know, you follow where your gut makes, you know, sends you and takes you and stuff like that. I feel that your career is really in the spiritual field, and that takes it, you know, totally outside of the normal realm. I'm hoping that there is some sort of mundane job here that is helping you to keep body, mind, and soul together.
No, not right now.
Well, it might be a good idea at some point in time. And the reason being that when we work in the spiritual realm, when we work in the spiritual field, we kind of lose touch with the physical reality to a certain degree. Having a mundane job of some sort, and I taught school for 25 years. That was my mundane job. And it kept one foot in the physical reality, and so the other foot could be in the spiritual, and the two could meet in the middle, and spectacular stuff could happen. If you are just doing one or the other of them, your life is not in balance. And then things don't work as well for you or as rapidly. You need to finish your books. You need to, and it feels like there are at least, you know, three here. Did you say there were three?
Yeah.
Okay. They have to be finished. But it feels like you're kind of stuck here. And if you're kind of stuck, if you're hitting your head against a brick wall, the most important thing for you to do is to do something that's creative that isn't focused on actually earning you money. Like gardening, knitting, origami. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, it can be just a fun, creative project. And creativity done for the sheer joy of creation is what opens the channels for the spiritual energy to flow into our lives and move our lives along.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when the universe just wants you to take a break and sit back and you know, gather yourself for another onslaught of some sort. And it feels like right now you're in one of those time frames. But things are going to be picking up as you move into April.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It was great. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You take care now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Being at that kind of a place in life is really tough. Being at a time where you know things are about to happen and they just haven't quite cracked yet and they're not actually, you know, they're not really flowing as rapidly as we would like. Those are moments when the universe really wants us to take it easy. If things aren't, you know, falling in place all over the place for you, those are times when the universe means you to take a break. And sometimes we're not as cooperative as we should be with the universe, and sometimes it takes a 2x4 to get our attention. I know 2x4s and I are very, very familiar with one another. It's a time when it's a gathering of energy. It's a gathering of waiting for the stars to be in the right alignment or for something amazing to happen. And if we're patient, if we can find a way to hold ourselves back and not try to push and you know, make things happen before their time, then magic does happen. And I tell you, magic is just phenomenal. Magic, I highly recommend people waiting for and being open to magic happening in their lives, because when it does, it is the most amazing, exciting, phenomenal experience ever. And if you have experienced magic in your life, you will know what I'm talking about. I have been fortunate that in many instances in my life, it has been very apparent that magic is happening, is afoot, that there is a cosmic manipulation going on. And we all have that happening. Sometimes we're just not aware of it. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we're so preoccupied with other things that are going on that we lose our connection with the fact that universally speaking, there's something here going on. And it may not be a job, it may not be money coming in, but there's massive changes here. And I know when I was painting the cosmic deck of initiation, I got to a point in time where, to be perfectly honest with you, I wasn't really sure if I was doing the right thing, if I was aimed in the right direction, if I was making the right choices. And I was still teaching, but there was this need to, I had been painting mandalas for quite a while. I had done 400 or 500 of them. And then the opportunity to create a deck of cards just so that there was a light energy deck out there so that people could do something that wasn't, utilize a tool that wasn't for them frightening. And you know, I have to say here that at that time, and this goes back, 30 years, at that time, you had the Aquarian deck and you had the Rider-Waite deck, and that was basically, and there was a Mother Peace deck too. And for me, the traditional cards, I did not resonate to them, and so my philosophy was, sometimes those pictures on them could be upsetting or a little scary or a little unsettling. And my feeling was that if someone didn't know anything about the cards and the death card fell or the flaming tower fell or the tower fell, that it could be upsetting. And if they fell upside down, well, then my God, it was a disaster. So I thought, well, I could create a circular deck that would be positive, gentle, light influenced, you know, just full of love, and would be a gentle way for people to learn how to read. And so I was teaching. I would leave the house. I would get up probably at 7 o'clock. I would be at work. I would come home. I would get home by about 4, and I would paint from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. I would get a couple of hours sleep, and I would do the same thing over again. I never missed a Little League game. I was energized as I've never been before, and I would. It was just, you know, looking back on it, it was a magical time. But I came to a point. It had to be like at 2 or 3 a.m, and I suddenly doubted the whole thing, and it was like. I was walking the dog, and I could hear the clanking of the rigging of the sailboats that were in the boatyard that were down the street. And I was talking, you know, to whoever would listen. And basically it was, you know, just, I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing. I need to have a sign. And at that moment, I said to the universe, and I was dead serious. I said, look, I need a sign. A burning bush will do. A roll of thunder, a voice from beyond, anything, just to let me know that I'm on the right path, because I don't want to be on an ego trip here. I don't want to be doing something that is sheer ego and not inspired. And it feels inspired, but I need to have some sort of confirmation, because I don't want to do something that could in any way hurt somebody else. And so I listened, and no burning bush, no roll of thunder, no big voice from out of, you know, the blue, or black at the time, actually, because it was night. And I looked around, and I looked up, and I said, ah, come on, I need a sign. And if I don't get a sign, I'm just going to go on strike. I'm not going to pursue this any further, because I don't want to do something that isn't right. I want to make sure that this is what you intend for me to do. And there was still nothing. And you know, the dog kind of looked at me strangely, and I looked at the dog, and I said, this sucks. And I looked again, and I said, okay, give me a sign. And birds don't normally fly at night. And a single seagull, flew over me and dropped its droppings on my head. And I thought, well, it's a sign, and I better take it. And so I went back inside and continued to paint. And the deck of cards has been very, very successful, and it continues to open doors for me, and it continues to inspire me to do other things. So magic was happening that night. And I have been very fortunate to have had magic, you know, insert itself into my reality in times even of upset and disappointment, if you're open to it, if you believe in it, magic does come into your reality. And so look for that magic. It's there for all of us. Okay, we've got, and if you're interested in getting a reading, the number is 347-857-2139. And let's see, we've got, I think, yes, we do. We have 708-335. Hi, this is Barbara. You're on the
Hello.
Air. Hello. Hi,
how are you? This is Delphine.
Hi, Delphine. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
How can I help today?
I'm in the process of relocating from Chicago to Houston, Texas with my 4-year-old. And I was wondering, how do you see that going for me? Is it going to be overall good financially, spiritually, et cetera?
And when are you making the move?
Or
have you made
it? End of May.
Okay. End of May. Well, it feels, you sure? are you sure it's the end of May you're going?
What, do you see something sooner?
No. I feel that, you know, there's not a huge roadblock here, but as far as moving and everything, it feels more like it's July. But, you know, certainly if you're going in May, you're going in May. It does feel like you're working very hard to make this happen. And I do feel that Texas, you're going to be in Texas, huh?
Houston, Texas.
That's a good place for you. I get a very positive feeling for this. I get a feeling that it's you're not originally from there though, right?
No, but I have family down there. I just need a change of environment. I just recently was let go from a job and I just feel like I've been stagnating here.
Well, congratulations, because you were supposed to move on long ago and you just didn't do it. So the universe helped you.
You're right. I was supposed to move my daughter. She's 4. And
uh-huh.
I was supposed to move somewhere because I had a choice when she was born, but I chose not to do it. I said, I'm going to get Chicago a couple of more years, and if it doesn't work out, I'll move. So now,
you know, the universe has a way of you know, really stepping in, and again, that element of a 2x4 here. And it does feel as though this is your time. And you know, you really I think are going to shine. It really feels as though there's magic here going on, that the universe is, you know, saying, oh, for heaven's sakes, just move the woman and get on with it. It will give you a sense of rooting, of a place of safety and security, of a place that you can grow in. And I think your daughter is going to love it. She's going to adapt a lot faster and better than you do.
Okay, because I explained it to her father. We're not together, and he didn't take
mm-hmm.
it too well. And I was wondering, do you see any issues with that, or?
No, I think that that he genuinely cares for his daughter, and you know, he's a little upset that he's not going to be able to be as close, but that's what Skype is for. So it's important that you understand that they do have a connection and they do have to maintain that. So you know, put her on Skype once a week to make sure she can talk to him.
Okay. Now, job wise, do you see me landing on my feet pretty quick?
Well, I'm not sure you really want to be on your feet real quick. So quick. What do you do?
Well, I was a social worker, and then I was a patient care tech. That was the last job I had.
Well, you've got a great comus vitis. You've got great, you know, great experience and stuff like that. I feel you'll find a job, you know, more rapidly than you anticipate. I'm just not sure that you really want to have a job right at the moment. I think you need to sort of lick your wounds. You need to give yourself time to sort of reorient yourself and focus in new directions. I'm not sure you're going to be working in the same field that you have been working in. So, you know, certainly your skills and your talents and your techniques will all come into play. But I think that you've got a new direction that you're going to be going in. You belong in a healing modality, and you belong in working with people because you're a people person for sure. And you're an amazing counselor. So I think that you've got the right credentials to get a unique and different job. But I don't see you going to work for a large corporation of any sort or anything like that. It feels more like you're going to be in something smaller that enables you to really do a greater job of a one-on-one with people.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to see you, again, in a large, corporately structured type of setting because that's not where your energy is.
Oh, no, you're right about that.
And you belong, you know, gosh, I'd love to see you as a spiritual healer or a spiritual guide or a spiritual counselor. I would love to see you looking at getting ordained as a spiritual minister and having that as another tool in your tool belt.
Oh, wow.
There are a lot of, and you know, getting ordained is a piece of cake. There are tons of places out there that, you know, online that you can get ordained on. The one that I would recommend is the Sanctuary of the Beloved, which is called, it is also the Priesthood of Melchizedek. And there's one man that goes around the country doing the ordinations, and that's it. His name is John Chesbro. And it's a weekend. I'm not putting you in a seminary program or anything like that. I think you'd probably prefer that, but you don't need it. You feel as though having studied long and hard for stuff and you know, being tested and stuff like that, you know, that kind of credential is what you kind of want for your comasvitis, but it's not what you need. Anyhow, that's just one place that does the ordinations. And the reason I pick that one is because it is well known that it is a legal one. It is one that your credentials will not be questioned no matter what state you get it in. And it's a valid credential that you get. I think your life experience well qualifies you for it.
Oh, okay.
So,
it's going to be
very good for you. I think that it's a time of massive change for you, and I think that you have a wonderful support system there. There is a grandmother in spirit here. Is your mother's mother in spirit?
Yes, she is my grandmother. Oh.
Yeah, she's here. She's around you a lot. You've been either talking about her or looking at pictures of her because she's saying you called, and it feels as though she's very supportive of you. She's kind of wondering why you haven't done this sooner. You knew it was you knew you belonged back with your family, so she doesn't understand why you took so long. This lady is a very, very family oriented person.
Yes.
Where were you actually born?
I was born in Chicago, so I have a lot of family here, but my uncle and his family are in Houston, Texas, and he was telling me, come on, you're loving here. And I said, oh, I was between that and my brother in Phoenix, Arizona, so I kind of...
No, Texas, I think, better place. Texas is better for you. Although, you'd enjoy Arizona, too. I mean, both areas are really, really good for you locally. You don't belong north. You belong south.
Yes, because the snow in Chicago is pretty bad. We just had a couple of inches of snow, and I'm really tired.
there is a there is a, oh, what would I call it? There is a what you are yearning for and needing is green, and hopefully you'll find it in Texas, because it feels, I feel really, really strongly that you are at a time and a place where you need to be, where there's a richness around you, and nothing against Chicago, but it just doesn't have that.
You're right. It seems like I'm done. I mean, even the snow, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad this is probably the last time I see snow.
Oh, it's not the last time you'll see snow, but it's the last time you'll see it that way.
Now, do you see anything in terms of love once I'm there in Texas, or?
I think that you've been ready for love for a while. You just haven't been allowing yourself to put the energy out there for it. And please, when you do get down there, do not sign on to a any sort of a computer dating thing or anything like that.
No.
That you're ready for a relationship. You're broadcasting for a relationship, but it has to be a spiritual one for you. So do allow the universe to, to supply it for you. I want you to understand that when you're ready, it will come. And sometimes we think we're ready a long time before we actually are. But the element of romance is certainly here. It feels that you're going to find yourself a lot more stable, and there's going to be, a very exciting time here for you. It's definitely... I see healing energy all over the place. I see you feeling as though there is a sanctuary there for you, and that you in some ways have come home. And I think your spirit there is more replenished and nurtured and cared for than in other places. So I think it's going to be amazing for you. I think your daughter is going to love it, and I think you will absolutely thrive. Absolutely thrive.
Thank you so much. I've been waiting to hear that. It's just like, I don't know, when the economy hit in 2007 for me, it was like I was going from job to job to job. And then the last time I was working in the hospital, my last job, it just felt like I was a robot. I was there, but I wasn't there.
Yeah. And you have to understand that we go through phases. There are things that we have to go through that for some reason, sometimes we don't know the reason. Sometimes the universe has plans for us, and they haven't even, given us the handbook, so we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. And a lot of it is that we have to learn to trust and have faith and go where we are called. And sometimes... Sometimes our ears are plugged and we don't realize we're being called in another direction. It takes a shock. It takes a 2x4 to move us into the area and the place where we need to be. So this is a good move. This is a great move for you. I do believe you're going to find the relationship you're looking for there. But please don't look for it. Let it find you. Okay?
Oh, I am. I'm just going to, my concentration is just to get on my feet and become more independent once I get there.
You're going to do a great job.
And thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You take care now.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, one of the things that has been, I have been asked over and over and over and over is the when am I going to find love? When am I going to find my soulmate? When am I going to find that perfect relationship that I'm dreaming of, I'm yearning for, I'm stretching for? And the answer is truly, truly, truly so simple. It's unbelievable. And because it's so simple, people don't do it. And they don't pay attention to it. They think that they need to do massive stuff in all sorts of different directions, and that's not true. Your relationship finds you. You don't find a relationship by looking. And I know everybody knows somebody who found their soulmate on an electronic thing on the computer, and okie doke. But the 90% of everybody on there is searching, is lonely, is wants to find it, and they're not, they're looking. And the reality is, we don't find that soulmate. And I'm not talking just a plain old relationship. I'm talking soulmate, heavy duty, deep soulmate. We don't find that person. They find us. The relationship finds us, and it is found. It is, you know, you are attracted to a soulmate when you have worked on yourself to the place that you are content and happy within your skin. You're happy with your life, and that doesn't mean that you have to be making, massive amounts of money and stuff like that. It means that you're happy and you're content. And you can say to yourself, if this is it for the rest of my life, this is not bad. I like this. And when you can get to that place within yourself, when you can become the person you want to attract, the universe takes it and makes it happen. It's the most unbelievable, unique, genuine, exciting thing you could ever, ever, ever experience. When we are going in our day-to-day life, I hear people all the time saying to me, I just attract losers, or I don't attract the right kind of person, and all of that. What's happening is the universe is putting a mirror in front of you. And not that you're a loser, because we're never losers. We just aren't all the way complete yet. But we have aspects that we have to work on, and sometimes we're not really aware of that. And if the people that are coming into your life that are there for relationships are not totally wholly what it is you want, take a look and figure out what is it about them that you know isn't all there, and then look within yourself. Because, you know, we're here to grow, we're here to learn, we're here to heal. Our spirit is absolutely perfect. Our personalities sometimes make it hard for the perfect soul to manifest within the reality. So, we have issues. And you know, some people will say, well, I know the relationship isn't perfect, but nobody's perfect. Well, the reality is, yes, there are perfect people out there for you. You have to get to the place where you are worthy of that kind of a relationship, and sometimes it takes people a long time to get there, but it doesn't mean you can't have relationships along the way either. What happens is that when we get to that point in time, when we are at a place that our spirit is just absolutely bubbling out of the pores, that energy goes, you know, it emanates from us, and it's not looking for a relationship either. It's just glowing. It's saying, life is really good, and I'm happy, and I'll share it with you. I'll be with people. I'll share it with you. But there's something special out there I'm waiting for. And what happens is that those kind of energies do attract one another, and they can attract people to other people across thousands and thousands of miles. And the universe, when it wants something to happen, is capable of doing the most profoundly unbelievable things in the entire world. And I know that, and I'm speaking from experience here. I have been married twice, and at the end of the second marriage, I decided I didn't do relationship really, really well, so maybe I should just concentrate on the spiritual stuff and leave the hard stuff like relationship alone. And 13 years into it, I found myself standing in the middle of my garden looking around at all of the flowers and all of the cool stuff and saying, this is really cool. I am very happy here. And saying, instead of saying, I suck at relationships, saying, you know what, all right, universe. If you want to give me a relationship, that's fine. But it has to be perfect, and it has to be spectacular. Otherwise, don't send anybody, because I'm very content. And I'm not going to go out looking. It will have to come and find me while I'm sitting on my, you know, at, in my basement at my computer. And I just put it out there. And I did do a vision board asking for a soulmate, life partner, twin flame, whatever word you want to use. And I was doing a show. I started the show in 2009, this show, and it was November of that year, and I was interviewing somebody on UFOs. I had seen a UFO when I was in college. It actually landed on my campus, and it was quite famous, and someone had written a book, and it was one of the instances that they spoke of, and you know, I was thrilled. I had proof that I had not been drinking and that I was not crazy. And so I had the author on, and I was interviewing him. And in the chat room, people were talking about UFOs and stuff, and somebody was saying, "I'm an expert in the field. I've written books on this subject. I have a huge website." Yeah, and I kept saying, "Good for you, buddy. I've got an author here." Well, the author had to leave, and the guy in the chat room, you know, was intense, and he kept saying, "Can I call in?" And I finally said, "Sure, call in." And so he did, and we talked for an hour or so, and we became friends on the phone. He was in California. He was in Berkeley, and a couple months going, and I became a co-host on his show, and then we started talking a lot more, and 7 months later, we decided that maybe there was something there, and so I flew to San Francisco. He picked me up at the airport with his van packed and his three cats, and our first date was driving across country, and he moved in, and the following February, he couldn't find a card, so we got married, and you know, that was cosmically arranged, because there's no way that would have happened had we not been in the right place. And it didn't matter that we were 3,000 miles apart. The universe said, let's put the two of them together and see what kind of craziness we could find. And trust me, it was crazy. But it was wonderful. And it's amazing that if you're ready for it, that it always, always, always works. And it's, yeah, it's an amazing story, isn't it? He wrote books, I wrote books. He had a website, I had a website. He believed in UFOs, and I had seen one. So it's amazing. And you know, we had three of the most phenomenal, beautiful years together that anybody could have had, and it was full of magic, and it was amazing. And he passed away in October after 2 months he was lung cancer. He discovered he had lung cancer, and it was stage four. And he passed over in October, and he is definitely in the other realm. He's not here, but he's not gone either. He is absolutely ever present here. And it's a joy to have his energy around, and there is no loss. So it's an amazing thing to experience. And I was so, so, so fortunate to have him in my life. And there is no sadness here, because he is not gone. It's that kind of magic can happen for everybody. I'm not special, neither was Patrick. It's just that we had worked hard to get to a place inside of ourselves, and it was the fact that we had worked on ourselves, not trying to change another person, but worked on ourselves, and that was the key. And I don't think either of us did it expecting it to become what it did. Somebody who always takes a shower here. Okay. Nick away shower. Hi. This is Barb DeLong. Hello. Okay. Not in the chat room, but in the queue. All right. Nobody there. We'll go on to 646-669. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, Robert. This is Celine.
Hi, Celine. Yes, How can I help?
Yes, I'd like to ask you, do you see any health challenges that I'm, you know, facing? You know, I've been not feeling too well lately. So.
You know, I'm not a doctor, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm a super hypochondriac, so I know a lot, but I'm not a doctor, and I can't diagnose. What I'm feeling here is, and of course, anything I say, you must check out with somebody who really knows what they're doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Just so we know. It feels as though you have some challenges here, but I don't feel that that they're horrible or they're difficult. I feel that there's a lot of stress, and where there's stress, it usually manifests in all sorts of weird and you know, incredible, strange ways within our reality. So have you been to a doctor? Have you checked out everything?
I've been to the doctor, but they told me I have a little anemia, but other than that, you know, that was all that was told. You know,
I go right along with them. I truly would. What you've got going on here, it does feel as though you're going through, you know, there's a sort of a, oh gosh, what would I call it? An identity crisis of sorts going on here. And it does feel as though what's happening is you are coming to a time frame where shifts are happening in your life, and it does feel that there is an unsettling here. It feels as though you are tired, and are you tired?
I wouldn't say tired, but a little stressed out. I guess that's all associated.
Okay. Are you doing, it doesn't feel like you are doing it, but I'll ask you anyway. Are you eating appropriately? No, you're not.
Not 100%, I have to admit, but I, for the most part, I try to eat, you know, the healthy stuff. I try to get more of the healthy stuff.
Yeah, you're at a time frame where you're not taking care of yourself. So that eating appropriately would be a good idea. Taking some supplements of some sort would be a good idea. There are a lot of, you know, all the right things to do for your system, and you're not doing it. It's kind of like you're taking a break from taking care of yourself. And it does feel like you've sort of run yourself down here. And because of that, I think your immune system is slightly compromised, and basically getting back on track here with your eating and with your rest and I cringe to say it, but exercise as well.
Okay.
Would help you, and don't be a fanatic about it, and don't you know, overdo it, but start to put yourself back into a healthy state. It feels to me as though you've given up on a lot of stuff and you've just sort of sat back. And basically the kind of feeling I'm getting is I want to go eat bonbons and sit by the fire and let life pass me by for a while and just leave me alone. And the only thing that's going to do is put weight on, and I don't think you want to do that. It feels like you're in one of those lows, one of those lulls where you don't feel a lot of activity going on around you or within your life, and you just kind of want to sit back and take a break. And I think you took too big of a break here.
Well, I have a sister, a younger sister. She's paralyzed, so that is contributing a lot to, you know, possibly the way on. You know, the things that's going on with me.
Yeah. What is the cause of her paralyzing?
Well, she's been shot.
With her spine was compromised?
Yes, it was. Yes, nerve damage.
Mm-hmm. Is this a total paralyzed? I mean, is she quadriplegic or is she just paralyzed a little?
Quadriplegic.
Okay.
But she's disabled, like, you know, like 99%, let's say.
Did this happen within the last 4 months?
Actually, it's going on 4 years.
Okay. You know, when people have something like this happen to them. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of, there's something magical that's going on inside of them. She's able to speak, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there's because what's interesting here is I'm getting a flashback to that Bible story about the Roman soldier that went through a town that Jesus had just gone through, and there was a woman who was paralyzed sitting in the center of the town, and everybody was celebrating because they'd been healed, and it was wonderful. And he looked at this woman, and she was just glowing. And he said, I thought that Jesus had just come through. And she said, yes, he has. And the soldier said, everybody's been healed. And she said, yes, they have. And he said, but you're still crippled. And she said, I was healed. And the reality sometimes here is that when we are held in place, when there's something that restricts our motion in one way or another, that there is something very, very important going on. It has to do with the fact that there's something inside of her that she's working on, that she's coming to a magical place inside of herself, and it takes holding her in place. It takes restricting her so that she can do the internal studying and journeying that she's doing, especially at night. It feels like she has a very I have to say almost blissful feel to her. People around her are upset and going through all sorts of stuff, but she feels, I almost want to say she's at peace within herself. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. But I think that she's still, like, traumatized, you know.
Well, undoubtedly. But you have to understand, there are healers working with her, and I'm talking on a spiritual level, there are healers working with her constantly. She is doing an amazing amount of work inside. That when something happens to someone like this, it means that their spirit is on a profound journey. There's something very, very important going on within her, and her spirit has chosen this. It's amazing. Before we come into a lifetime, we do, and this is going to sound irreverent, and I don't know how else to put it out there, but before we reincarnate, we basically kind of go to the reincarnation center upstairs on the other side. And we say, you know, I've worked at this, and this, and I think that I need to work on these aspects down there in the schoolroom. And you know, give me situations that will enable me to work on those aspects of my internal spiritual development. Because you got to remember that we come in here as spirits. The body is just something we ride in, and it's only good for this lifetime. And so her spirit had to have asked for a situation where she could spend that internal time, that spirit time. And I do believe that when she's asleep at night, that she does travel to the other realms. I think that as she gets older, this is going to not be as much of a handicap or a hindrance to her as you feel and the other people around her feel at this point in time. This is a spirit that is profound. This is a master teacher here in your sister. And over time, she is going to be able to share a lot with you that is a very unusual, wonderful part of herself. So I think she's in better shape than all of the family.
And you know, you mean in her predicament?
Yep, I do feel that this lady has a lot of spiritual energy. It is of a profound, deep, intensive, you know, we often, you know, say, oh, so-and-so is more evolved than I am, or so-and-so is, you know, more highly aware of their spirituality and stuff like that. I do believe that she is a master, that her spirit, the spirit that is in her body at this time, is working on absolutely profound aspects of spiritual awareness that we don't even have an idea you know, of at this moment in time. Our physical reality takes a lot away from us. It's hard for us to really constantly be working on the spirit aspects of life. She gets to focus on it 100% of the time. If our spirits had an option, that's what they'd be doing. You know, the physical reality, you know, you have to live within a human body. You have to have a personality that is able to project whatever the wisdoms are that you carry. She's at a place where she appears to be compromised, that she appears to be handicapped, she appears to be restricted. And her spirit, because of this situation, is able to soar, is able to really work with so many other aspects of reality that we don't have any concept to. I do really believe that she is a master teacher, that at some point in time she will start, you know, sharing her wisdom with other people, and it's love, and it's profound, and it's amazing. Maybe not today or tomorrow, and I think the worst thing in the world you can do is beat yourself up. And your mother appears. Is your mother still here?
Yes, she is.
She's really handling this. You know, she's strong, but I think she's having great difficulty with it as well.
Yeah,
and
voila.
I, you know, it's yes, she is at the moment trapped. You know, it appears that she is trapped, but her spirit is not trapped. Her spirit travels at night. Her spirit does wonderful things. I think that you're going to find around, you know, your family and stuff that magic is going to start happening in some very unusual, wonderful places. That's your sister's spirit at work. And you know, her personality at this point in time may not be as reflective of what's going on inside her as it will be in another year or two or three. I don't feel, and this happened like 4 years ago, I don't feel that it's going to be permanent. And I don't care what doctors have said. I think that at some point in time she is going to get mobility back, and the time she has spent being able to be inner reflected is going to change the way that she deals with life when she gets her mobility back.
Mm-hmm. So
just,
you know. Oh boy.
It's going to be an adventure, and it's really important that you get your health back and you become stronger, because you know you have to also understand that what you've got going here is an element of trust and faith. And you feel as though you've given up on those things. And I strongly urge you to really work on getting them back, however it happens, whether you go to church or whether you are in a spiritual group of any sort. I think it's really important that you start working on your belief that everything happens for a reason, and that it's a good positive reason, and that magic and those things that you feel can't change can always occur within a life. You just have to have the faith that it will. And bring laughter into your sister. Bring laughter into the family and yourself as well. She's here for a reason, and it's not to become a burden. It's to become a prize. It's to become a blessing. And I think you're going to find that it is going to bring great joy into everybody's life at some point in time. You're just not there yet, and you can't give up, and you can't feel that life is unfair, because it's not. It's a challenge for sure, but it's not unfair. And you're gonna see a purpose to this, and you're gonna see benefits from it that are just beyond the imagination. You just have to give it time to evolve, and it may take another 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
But the lighter your heart, the faster the time goes, the sooner the healing to everybody involved.
Mm. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, and there are archives. If you have to, you know, go back to them and be reminded of it, please do, because it's important. She's a special, special person.
Mm. And you just think so. Well, she just sometimes she's in this, I mean, she's a young girl, so.
But you know, I think there's greater wisdom inside of your sister than you know. But again, that element of, you know, the strongest healing tool that we have is laughter. And so many people don't use it. So many people don't bring it into their lives. So many people don't allow it to be the healing tool, the teaching tool, the enlightenment tool that it is. And you don't make fun. It has to be genuine, sincere laughter, laughter that just bubbles out of you and you can't stop it. The kind that, mm-hmm. that makes your nose run and you know, the kind that you just can't stop. Mm-hmm. And I feel that your sister has that energy. Help her to find it. And sometimes it's as easy as just taking comedies and watching comedies with her, or making fun of people, or gently, but making fun of them.
Okay, no, I don't. Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd be surprised how fast laughter can lighten any mood, and it's healing.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, bring the laughter in. That's all you need to do. Because I got to tell you, laughter is incredible. And you put it in every aspect of life and you heal. It's amazing. You heal. And sometimes, but you know, come on, take care of yourself. Slap yourself around a little bit. You've let go of stuff. You have to, you know, gather it in and get to work. You have more work to do than she does.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is so long. This is you know, you just made my day.
Well, thank you. You made mine. You made mine too. So do call us back and let us know how things are going, please. Okay.
I certainly will.
You're very, very welcome. Take care now. Bye bye.
Blessings. Bye bye.
To you as well. This is something that's really important, and I think that people have to understand. In my life, I have had certainly sadness and tragedy along with everything else, and I've lost people that I love. I didn't lose them. They passed on to the next dimension. It's something that I would love for people to understand. People don't die. Death is an empty, empty, empty word. It does not signify an ending. It signifies a joyful beginning. And I wish there were a better word for it. I don't know where it came from, and I'm going to have to, you know, go back into the dictionary and find out what the derivation of the word death is, because it sucks. I know in Tarot, the death card means rebirth. That's what happens when we pass over, and I'm reminded of the Monty Python thing about the parrot. You know, it's dead, it's passed over, it's deceased, it is no more, it has gone on to the great beyond, on and on and on and on and on. Well, it's kind of like, and I think I prefer the term blended with the light, because that's exactly what happens when that moment comes. And it is it's an amazing celebration on the other side. Patrick did not lose his battle with cancer. He won. He got to the other side. And there should be a celebration everywhere that those people that make the transition, the transformation, those people that let go of the vehicle that their soul has traveled in this lifetime, and go to the other side where they no longer need the physicality, but they hold that shadow of the physical so that people like me can, you know, identify them. It's a joyous time. It's not a time of sorrow. It's a time of celebration. I think the Chinese have it right. When a baby is born, they mourn because the infant, that life form, has to go through a tremendous amount of struggle in life and you know, until they get to the other side. And when someone dies, they all wear white and they celebrate because thank whatever, you know, they've moved on. They have let go the anchor of this lifetime, and they have merged into the light to go on to another dimension and another life. The Bible describes death as only describes it in one place. It says that we struggle for 60 or 70 years. It's a hard life. We work hard. We experience hardships, and then we die. And the very next phrase to that is, and then we fly away. And that's what we do. We take flight. Our spirits take flight. They soar. They absolutely, if you talk to anybody or read anything about near-death experience, every single person that has had a near-death experience describes it as the most blissful, gorgeous, wonderful experience they have ever had in their life. It's Patrick and I did a series of shows on near-death experiences, and to a person, they described it as flying, of being drawn through space, of being drawn into the hereafter. And one young lady who had tried to commit suicide said it the most perfectly, the most beautifully, and it was for us such a profound moment. She said that she was not drawn by love, not surrounded by love, not embraced by love. She had become love. And it is the richest, most profound, most overwhelming, most most joyful expression ever. And to have to come back from that was so sad. Most of the people that we talked to that had had near-death experiences not only did not want to come back, they you know, reluctantly came back. They were forced back, actually. They got locked out, I guess. And it changed their lives dramatically. They turned to a more spiritual, a more loving, a more their lives are more filled with wanting to serve mankind. And so it's a time where you know, it's the same thing with people that have experienced UFOs and stuff like that. Their lives as well are changed. We interviewed Lynn Katai, who did the documentary on the Phoenix Lights, and when we spoke with her, she talked about, she kept dropping these little words, and I got her on the phone after we had done the interview, and I said, all right, you know, we're not recording anymore, so come on, fess up. You're talking about spiritual stuff. You're talking about touching the other side, about you know, knowing that there is a spiritual reason that this is all going on. And she laughed, and we spoke for hours and hours and hours and hours, because when something that is of a quote-unquote paranormal thing happens to us, we are made aware immediately that we are not alone. And not only are we not alone, but there is something greater than us out there. And, you know, we are not, as some people think, the top of the evolutionary chain. I don't know where we are on it, but I know we're not at the top, because I know there's more, and I know that we're ascending into that, and I know humanity is moving towards that, and I don't think we're there yet. I mean, when people talked about, you know, the world was going to end and the mothership was coming, all I could think of was they must be kidding, that we're not ready for that yet. The humanity hasn't learned that we're all related, that there is a brotherhood of man here, that we are definitely our brother's keepers. And it's just, it's amazing that so many people are thinking they're exclusive or better than others. And the reality is, it's not true. We're a family. And I guess we're very reflective of families, because, you know, there's always somebody that's obnoxious, and there's always somebody that we don't feel comfortable with. And we're always, there's always somebody that, you know, we avoid if we can. And, you know, but our family, the family that we're a part of now, we have to learn how to be, we have to learn how to love one another. And it's just the most profound thing that I've ever seen, that that people are isolate and they pull away from people and they choose to ignore people that they feel are not as highly evolved as they are and stuff like that. But the reality is, when we learn to really accept and embrace everybody as a member of our family, when we can all work together and share together, then the planet stands a chance. Then those people that seeded humanity down here, that are our ancestors, that I think are in those spaceships that every now and then fly over us, I think they're waiting for a time for an awakening in our spirits. And just as our ancestors way, 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 way back, you know, caveman type ancestors, when they didn't understand something, they made up fables about it. You know, they made up gods. They didn't understand fire, and then it was, you know, somebody throwing thunderbolts, and so the gods were responsible for it. And the gods, in my opinion, are those the species that started us down here, that put us down here and genetically manufactured us, and here we are. And what we're trying to do now is is to understand, you know, that they are not here to destroy us, to eat us, to steal our gold for their atmosphere, and it's to me just mind-boggling that 10 years ago everybody thought that the aliens and everybody were, you know, they were going to invade us, they were going to try to control us, they were going to try to enslave us. And I truly, 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 absolutely believe that they're watching over us. They're taking care of us. They're making sure that we don't destroy the planet. And you know, we've come close. And so the aspect here of I think I probably wandered off topic, but I'm going to keep going. Anyhow, the aspect of you know, aliens. In the past, we've made those things we don't understand gods that we have worshipped. And I think we're doing the same thing now. I think that we're more evolved. We have we have science and all sorts of things that are at our disposal, and so we are again misinterpreting what is actually there, and in some cases worshiping it. And I don't think that we're meant to worship them. I think we're meant to grow up to be more like them, hopefully. I truly believe that things like crop circles are portals, and I think that the patterns that they leave in many cases they're signals. I think the Nazca lines and some of the other lines that are on the planet are signals that it's almost like they're leaving us the tools to figure out to ascend into a place where we are worthy to join them in a greater reality. I don't think we're there yet. I think we got a long way to go. I would love to say, oh, it's going to happen this lifetime. I'd love to say that. I don't think it, not for a minute, but I would love to see it. I think that it's going to be many lifetimes in the future, and I think we're going to go through many stages of misinterpretation of the reality that we're a part of. I think that in many ways we are who we have been waiting for. We're just not grown up yet. And someday we're going to get there. But there are definitely things that are coming that are amazing. There are aspects of life that are changing, and I think that the earth is changing too. And I think that in many ways we have to understand that the earth is talking to us. There's a wonderful documentary, and the link to it is on my website. It's called Home. And for those of you who have the time, I would love for you to go and click on it and watch it. It is probably one of the most beautiful documentaries that I have ever seen, and it deals with the planet and how it is such a magical, amazing place. And so that you know, you look at it and you think, oh my God, we are destroying the planet. Where the greatest extent of our population is all scattered along the shorelines and stuff like that. And that is true. It's because, you know, of course, communication and all sorts of other stuff. But internally, this planet has the most amazingly phenomenal natural resources out there for us, not to be pilfered, but to be respected and protected. The planet is not going anywhere. Humanity may. As a species, we may not survive because we won't be able, you know, maybe there is the possibility that we are not going to learn to love one another. And to bring that sort of back to the here and the now, I think one of the most important things that all of us need to do is those acts of kindness that are not called for is something that we really need to start practicing to a greater degree. Smiling at people, not looking down and not ignoring those people that are near us, but talking to and sharing with and laughing with those people that we rub shoulders with every day. It's important. I think that some of the most enriching moments that I have experienced have been those times when either something is said in a group of strangers and suddenly there's laughter and suddenly you see light in people's faces and you know that their spirit has woken up and celebrated just for that brief moment in time with yours, and there's a connection there, and it absolutely continues to bring a smile to people's faces. My favorite story is a year or so ago, I was in the post office at Christmas time, and there were long lines, and they were bizarrely long. And I noticed that the music wasn't playing in the post office, and I said, geez, what happened to the music? This is a time where there really should be music. And somebody else in line said, yeah, well, there's no Christmas carols. Maybe we should sing. And I said, oh, trust me, you will pay me not to sing. But I said, you know, I'm game if you are, because I think that there should be music here. And somebody else said, you know, you start it and we'll join in. And I said, you know, if you don't join in, you're going to, you know, it would be a mistake to not drown me out. And I did. I started to sing, and then everybody joined in, and everybody was singing Christmas carols in the post office. And trust me, it wasn't pretty, but it was fun. And people were giggling and laughing. And as people left the post office, you just knew that during the day and probably longer, they were going to think back on that and chuckle and smile and remember it. And in that one small moment, the true meaning of what the holiday is, of sharing joy and love with other people, was fulfilled. And there was a richness there that it was palpable. You could touch it. You could feel it. You could smell it. You just knew it was happening. And that's what we need to do every day. We need to share laughter with others. We need to break down those barriers that people put up. We need to not be afraid to reach out to somebody. And you know, you don't have to solve the problems of the world. I mean, though that wouldn't be bad, but you start little. In the last election, there was so much going on with, you know, who are you going to vote for? And, oh my God, if this party wins this and if this party wins that. And it's the important thing is we try to make a difference. We reach out to make a difference a single moment at a time. And what happens is those moments build. I can't change anything out there that's of a political nature or whatever. I am a single person, but as a single person, I can touch the people that I'm in the grocery store with. I can touch the people that I, you know, read at psychic fairs. I can touch the people I talk to on Blog Talk. I can give out kindness and love unconditionally. And if they, it's like that commercial for Clairol a gazillion years ago, and they told two friends and so on and so on and so on and so on. I share with you unconditionally. I give the best that I got every time I read somebody. And sometimes I give even better because, you know, of course, whoever asks for a reading triggers something that I need to hear, that everybody needs to hear, and it's really, it's profound. But we are obligated, we are charged with loving one another, and that's really the basic thing in life. We are sent down here in unconditional love. We are born in unconditional love. That spirit within a baby comes through perfect and totally aware. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't understand. Babies have total access to Akashic records, to everything. They are in a vehicle that they can't control. They are in a time and in a place where they can't control the muscles yet. And so what's happening is sometimes babies cry and you don't know why. They're crying from frustration because there's something they want to say, there's something they want to share, and they just can't make it work. And possibly that's good, because sometimes, you know, total awareness from an evolved spirit could be a real shocker to parents who are trying to keep an infant dry and full of warm, good food. But what happens is, you know, those totally aware spirits come into this reality, and then as they begin to grow, as they begin to have control and stuff like that, teachers, family, environment, culture, they all pour in, and they all sort of send the total awareness of the spirit back further and further and further into the consciousness. And so after a certain point in time, the spirit just sort of goes along for the ride for a while, and then the spirit starts to slowly manifest within the consciousness as that person becomes more and more conscious and evolved. And the spirit then, you know, as we get into our 50s and 60s and beyond, the spirit is more and more capable of manifesting, of sharing its awareness with the consciousness that is there. So that again, the spirit closer and closer and closer to transition is more and more able to express itself. And it's really, I love people who are over 70. I love people who are over 80 and 90, because, you know, you're getting from them a greater wisdom than you know, when we're in our 20s. When we're in our 20s, I think we are so obnoxiously, profoundly arrogant and foolish that you know, you almost have to just ignore those kids. But the older people get, the more they in touch they become with that spiritual insight and wisdom that is inside of them, and that's where you really get the wisdom. That's where you really get the element of understanding a spirit. And of course, you know, I'm going to be 70 in another year, and I'm very excited about it, because at 50, I suddenly realized that you know, I was on my way. I was finally in the crone age, and I was able to sort of stretch myself more spiritually and actually speak my mind to a greater extent. I hit 60, and I just accelerated it. I'm pretty sure at 70, everybody's going to run from me, because I may be so definitely, you know, in your face that it may not be as kind as it should be. Who knows? We'll see. But this we are all love. We are, and we are a family. And it's so profoundly exciting for me that humanity is opening up more and more and more to the fact that we are a family, and there is the spiritual is so more greatly accepted and listened to than once it was when the book I wrote, Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom, was published. Patrick thought that the poetry and all of that stuff should be out there, and I thought he was ridiculous, but he published it and it's out there, and actually it's doing well. And what I found phenomenal was when I put out the call and saying that I had a book that I had just published and I on Blog Talk especially, and I would appreciate it if anyone was willing to have me on to talk about it, and everybody that responded I sent a book to. And I was overwhelmed because the majority of the people that contacted me were men, and some of them weren't even in the spiritual or paranormal field. They were in sports. They were in fields that I never would have expected someone, you know, would have a spiritual insight to. And as I went on the shows, I found that the men especially had read the book, had earmarked it, had questions for me about things like reincarnation and all sorts of stuff like that. And at another time in life, 10 years ago, these jocks would not have even considered reading a book called Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom, or interviewing me or talking about the spiritual aspects. So spirituality is coming to a place where it is not only seeping into all aspects of life, it is being more accepted by everyone. It's something that everyone is now familiar with and interested in, and for the most part, the consciousness of humanity has absolutely changed and shifted over the last 20 years. And I'm amazed by it. At when I started in this field, if people had known what I was doing in my off hours, I could have lost my job. I would have definitely been fired from my job as a school teacher in Minnesota, in Michigan. It would have been considered, we weren't allowed to even wear pants. We had to wear suits or dresses and heels. We couldn't even wear boots. And you do playground duty at 32 below, and trust me, you tend to learn, you know, what cold really is. So it's amazing how just in my lifetime, the acceptability of the welcoming of a spiritual insight or a spiritual aspect to life has become welcomed, and in many cases, people will search you out now where they didn't used to. And you can say something about spiritual in almost any circle except politics. And you know, there is a reception, and it's positive and it's open, and it's, you know, let's compare notes, let's see where we are. Patrick and I, though coming from different modalities, he was more into the biblical and you know the research aspect of it, and I was more into the spiritual non-scientific aspect of it. The only thing that we found that we really couldn't agree on, the only thing that we did agree to disagree on, was reincarnation. And his philosophy was that there is genetic memory in all of us, but that you know, this lifetime is the only shot you get. I believe that the spirit reincarnates lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, that you know, this indeed is the only lifetime that this particular personality and body are going to experience, but that there will be another experience 100, 200 years from now or whatever. And both of us, you know, we finally had to agree that whoever went first would figure out whether it was reincarnation or genetic memory, and come back and tell the other one. Now, I haven't heard from him, so I'm assuming I was right, and he's just, you know, not going to come back to hear I told you so from me. So, you know, that said, I do want to talk for a minute about reincarnation, because I think it's very important. We've all had millions of lifetimes. Our spirits have traveled through time. This is my theory, and I'm going to stick to it until somebody gives me something better that I can wrap my arms around. And our imaginations are the wells, are the repositories of our memories and experiences from all of those lifetimes. our brains store that information like huge computers, and we don't have access to a great deal of it. It is said that we only use 5 or 6% of our brains, and I don't believe that's true. I think it's all full, it's all functional, it's all ready, and it's all accessible if we can get to those places. And those of us who do mediumship, those of us who can see past lives, those of us who can see spirit, in some way we may have cracked into some of those areas so that that aspect, those are available to us. Past lives are important because you learn something in every past life. There's wisdom gathered. There's skills that are assimilated. There's information that is you know, phenomenal, and that we store away until the time that it is necessary for us to use it or need it. And that's why when mediums, you know, look at you and they give you past lives, it's usually because those past lives have direct relevance on this life. You gathered something that you're supposed to be able to use this lifetime if you can be reminded of it, if you can draw on that energy. And past lives are fun. When I do them with Mary Peeler, she usually finds very, very logical, wonderful past lives for people, and I look for the most bizarre and the weirdest, and you know, both have great application for whatever is going on this lifetime. We've all been nuns, we've all been whores, we've all been murderers, we've all been conquerors, we've all been kings, queens, and we've been scullery maids, and we've been peasants. We've all had a lot of those experiences. We've all had all of them, and the reality is, unless you have lived something, you can't imagine it or describe it. So that you know, there are probably aspects of life that I have not yet experienced that I just can't comprehend, wrap myself around, or understand. But for the most part, it's kind of like you can't describe something unless you've experienced it, and it doesn't have to be in this lifetime. It could be in 40 million lifetimes ago. And what I have so much fun with when I do past lives for people is that you know, clearly I can see it, so that means I must have been it as well. And when I do spirit circles and stuff like that, I always look for the whore in the group. And I guess that really means that I must have been a whore in a bunch of past lives too, but I think we learn something from that. We certainly learn how to share love in a lot of different ways, sometimes one-on-one and sometimes in other ways. But past lives have great impact on us, and because you carry with you the memory of those past lives, that's why people like Mary and I and so many others can tap into them and bring them forward and sit them in front of you and say, okay, you've done this, you've experienced this, there was wisdom gathered, use it and benefit from it, and you don't have to repeat it again. You can if you want to, but it's not necessary to repeat again because you've already lived it and it's already become a part of your reality and a part of your consciousness, and the wisdoms that were gathered there can be applied to this lifetime. And I think that the fact that we, our souls, our spirits have had millions of lifetimes, that our spirits have been here over and over and over and over again, gathering and building and expanding our consciousness, I think that brings a richness to our characters. And you know, embracing it, claiming it, owning it, and letting it become a part of this reality makes this reality so much richer, so much more vibrantly alive and exciting. So understand that you're not at a singular place in time that you bring into this time frame a richness that is profound, and if you can embrace it and bring it along with you, it just enriches everything you touch and everything you are. We are a sum total of lifetimes of experiences, lifetimes of understanding, lifetimes of wisdom, lifetimes of experiences. Some might call them mistakes. I call them challenges and lessons, and they're important because our challenges are not put there to hurt us or punish us. Our challenges have been supplied to us so that we can grow through them, not get around them, but grow through them to understand that that we are capable of so much more than sometimes we think. And when there's something in front of us that is, it feels like I can't get through this, or I can't get above this or around this. The reality here is that you know, you got to have faith. You got to trust that you requested experiences that would enable your spirit to grow, to break out of whatever, to the gifts that are hidden inside, for them to break out. And so, you know, when something happens and you're faced with something that really looks insurmountable, you sit back and you look at it, and frankly, I usually laugh at it. A lot of years ago, 40 years ago, maybe more, I had ulcerative colitis, and they told me I was going to die of it. And at the time, it seemed very strange what my response was, and I just looked at the doctors and said, I'm really sorry, but I just don't have time to do that. I have too much to do. And I don't have it anymore. It's gone. It went away a long time ago. But the doctors, you know, have no idea, you know, what happened. And I just basically, when they ask, say, well, I was too busy to die. And so it's sort of like, don't accept blockages that come into your way. You're meant to grow through them. You're meant to deal with them in whatever way is most important for you. And sometimes it's unusual, and oftentimes it's strange, but the big thing is you get through it. You know, there's a saying that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Mother Teresa's response to that was, I know that God only gives us what we can handle. I just wish he didn't have so much confidence in me. And I'm sure everybody out there has often had that same feeling. But the reality is, we become richer spiritually. We become stronger. We become a better person when we do cope and we do make it through these things. And we do. We always, always, always do. Gosh, I've talked so long here. I can't believe the time is almost gone, though. I have to thank everybody. I want to thank Love for Spirit. Thank you. You have done a wonderful job in the chat room, and I greatly appreciate you standing in for Jeannie. And it's good to see everybody that was here. This has been, I think, probably is going to become one of my favorite shows, because normally I don't get a chance to really share stuff with you guys because I'm doing readings, and today Switchboard doesn't have a lot of people on it, so I've been able to really share some of my philosophies with you, and you know, they're not carved in stone. However, I have to tell you, I hopefully am growing constantly, so philosophies will be stretching out too, It's amazing. Yeah, and somebody says we're given what we need for the highest good and the higher self. It's absolutely true. And maybe today I just needed to spew and give you guys a whole bunch of stuff that you know, I have certainly written down, and it's up there someplace on my website, and now it's here on Blog Talk. But this is a cool show because it's given me the opportunity to, usually I sprinkle this stuff in amongst the readings. I teach through my readings, but today's been a wonderful opportunity for me to just sort of sit and talk to you guys, and I so appreciate it. I'm so grateful that you're there because you give me somebody to talk to. Otherwise, I'd just be talking to the computer screen, and that's scary sometimes. But thank you for being here.
Sure.
Being inspiration for me to share some of the stuff that is inside of me, and thank you for having a good time in the chat room too. I totally appreciate everybody. I thank especially Love for Spirit. You've been great. Ratty Mary, good to see you. And do please be here next Friday. Jeannie will be back on duty, and I imagine it will be a show as normal as usual, but if not, I'm sure I can find a few tidbits to throw at you. There's always something new. There's, you know, that's the happiest part of this job. It's not a job. It's really a way of life. But it allows me to kind of put stuff out there. As this has been cool. I do appreciate your being here. I love you all. And I will be here next Friday, and Ginny will be back on duty, and we will share some more. Thank you all. Walk in the light. Laugh a lot. Share your joy with others. And look for miracles, because they're out there all over the place. You all take care now. Bye-bye.